You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I want to speak about, last week I shared about 2020, having your eyes open to what God has in store for you. And this is part two of the message from last week. And last week we saw how this miracle of restoring the blind man in Mark chapter 8 was a sign, not to the blind man, but to the disciples. This miracle was for the blind man's physical eye, but it was also for the disciples' spiritual eyes. And we learned that Jesus' miracles are really parables in action. Jesus had been trying to show them and teach them who he really was by the miracles that he performed to open their understanding. And in spite of seeing him do amazing and impossible things again and again and again, they still couldn't see who he really was. And this blind man was a living illustration of the spiritual condition of the disciples. Ever since they'd been walking with the Lord, in a sense, Jesus had been spitting in their eyes. Can you see? Can you see who I really am? He really wanted them to know through the miracles, signs and wonders that he was indeed Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, the Son of God. And today I want to look at another story in Luke 24. It's the two men on the way to Emmaus. And I want you to picture this scene. They're walking along and they were talking. And a very strong discussion concerning what the events that just happened in Jerusalem. The fact that Jesus was crucified, died on the cross, and then was put in a tomb. And they were discussing this in a very lively discussion of these events that took place. And the Bible says Jesus drew alongside them. And he said, "What are you talking about?" And they were amazed. They said to Jesus, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem didn't even know what was happening in Jerusalem? The headline news, what was that?" Jesus said, "What was it?" He said, and they began to tell Jesus exactly what took place. They said, "This person called Jesus, he was a prophet, mighty in word and in deed, and before God and before the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one that was going to set us free from Roman occupation. We were hoping." You know, that got me thinking. There are times in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, where we hope things will happen to our lives. Certain things would take place. And we never thought it would happen this way. This is the way I wanted it to happen. God, I prayed and I fasted, I sought your face, and look what's happened. Look what's taken place. Then they went on to say, yes, and certain women, they went to the tomb and they said the tomb was empty. In fact, they said they had a vision of angels. And then two of the disciples rushed off to have a look and they found the tomb empty, but they didn't see anyone there. And then Jesus said to them in verse 25 of Luke 24, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. Selah. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe." You think we have that problem sometimes? I do. "Slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, that things concerning himself, the greatest teaching ever that was never recorded." But one day, I think Jesus will give us the opportunity to hear exactly what he said to those men on the way to Emmaus. It was just over 11.2 k's from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And it might have been 2 to 3 hours on their journey that he began to open up their understanding to the scriptures. Jesus, then, when they got to Emmaus, Jesus gave the impression that he was going to continue on his journey. But they strongly urged him, saying, stay with us. Stay with us. You know, there are times in our Christian life when we need to allow the Spirit of God to rise up in us with an urgency, with a hunger. God, stay with us. Stay with us. We want you more than anything else. They cried out to God, the urgency and the heart cry, stay with us. And it's like saying, God, we're not satisfied. We want more. I love the way A.W. Tozer prayed this prayer that I often have used. He said, we have tasted of your goodness. It has both satisfied us, but it's made us thirsty for more. Is that how you feel sometimes? There is a sense of satisfaction, but in our heart of hearts, there's something that wells in our heart for more. We want more of you, God, in our lives. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Yeah. It comes no other way, church. No other way. If we want more, we have to hunger for more. There's no other way. Sorry, it's nothing easy to say. We have to hunger for more. And then verse 30, it says, when they sat at the table, he took bread. I want you to notice, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open. When you break the word of God open, Holy Spirit will cause your eyes to see Jesus in the pages of Scripture. It says their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And then they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures up to us? You know, there's two people in my life that had caused my heart to burn when I used to speak to them. Some of you, if I said their names, you would know them. I would talk to them about the Lord and then they would share, and then my heart, I just start to bubble up inside. My heart became so warm, so, in fact, red hot with an expectancy and desire to know Jesus more. And this is how it was with the disciples. Their heart burned with a passion and a desire to know Jesus. And so what happened? They rushed off back to Jerusalem to tell the apostles. But then Jesus suddenly appears to the 11 of his disciples in Jerusalem. In verse 44, it says, And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Jesus, in those 3 years, was trying to open their eyes through the word of God as he began to quote scripture, as he began to teach scripture, and yet still their eyes weren't open to who he really was. And then verse 45, let's take a note of verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. He opened their understanding. You see, Jesus walked them through the entire revelation of who he was in the Old Testament. He would turn to Moses. He would turn to the prophets. He would come to Isaiah 53. And he says, when it talks about that by his stripes you are healed, he would go through the prophets. And then he would go through the Psalms. Amazing. Jesus wanted them to see that if they would only believe what the scriptures said of him, they would understand who he really was. Just because they knew about Jesus didn't mean that they really, really knew him personally. Just because they could see him does not mean that they could know who he really was. You know, many people know about Jesus. Many people have read about Jesus. They've heard about him. They've sung songs about him, particularly at Christmas time. And even claim to know him. But knowing about him is different from knowing him personally. And it only comes when we invite Jesus into our lives. He will cleanse us of every sin, every fault. What a way to start 2020, by accepting Jesus Christ, surrendering my life to him, and he can come and he'll live in my life. The statements of Jesus in Luke 24 are amazing because I believe they speak to us for 2020. Notice it says in verse 27, he explained to them all the scriptures concerning him. Just imagine that. He explained all the scriptures concerning him. And then in verse 32, it says, he opened the scriptures to us. And then verse 45, he opened their understanding, spiritual eyes, that they may understand the scriptures. I liked what the Amplified says. He says, he thoroughly opened their minds to understand the scriptures. The way you and I can truly, truly, truly know about God, his character, his ways, is by looking in the scriptures. Looking in the Word of God. In Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, the people knew the ways of God, but knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God by spending time with him. And so the way, in fact, John 1:1 says, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In 2 Corinthians 2:16, it says from the Amplified, it says, every scripture is God breathed. Every scripture, not parts of it, not a section of it. Every scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, is God breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction of sin, conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. Are you ready for Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see Jesus in the scriptures? And I want to share with you John 16, but before I share with you John 16, I want you to see, first of all, where you are actually positioned. It's important to know where you're positioned. Physically, you're here on planet Earth. I can see you. You can see me. But spiritually, in Ephesians 2:6, he, God, has made us to sit with Christ in heavenly places. You are seated with Christ. Spiritually, you're seated with Christ. Physically, we are on planet Earth. This is how it says in the Amplified. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit together. He never said to you, okay, where do you would like to sit? And you can sit anywhere you like. No, he said he made you to sit with Christ. Because you're in Christ and Christ is in you, you are seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father. And the Amplified says it like this, sit down together, giving us joint seating with him. Giving us joint seating with Christ in the heavenly sphere. The virtue of being in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is our position. You may not feel it, but it's not dependent on feelings. It's dependent on the fact of the Word of God that says that he has made you to sit with him in heavenly places. Our heavenly status gives us heavenly power and authority against the enemy every day. Seated with Christ is our present positional reality. Our citizenship is in heaven. So, when you read the Bible, read it from the position where he has seated you. When you open the scriptures, when we go through the Bible plan, the 2-year Bible plan, make a mental note. God, I am seated at your right hand. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. And I'm going to look at the scriptures now from this viewpoint. Do it and see what happens. you'll start to see Jesus in the pages of Scripture. Are you ready for Jesus to thoroughly open your mind to understand the Scriptures? So what does God want us to see in 2020? In John 16, verses 13 to 15, it says, but when he, I want you to take note of this. Having ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us this morning. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole truth, the full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me. When you worship God, Jesus, when you honor the Lord Jesus Christ, it pleases the Holy Spirit. Because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit, download the word to you. Verse 15 is the word that I want to impart into you this morning. Everything that the Father has is mine, Jesus said. He said, everything that the Father has is mine. But look, let's finish it off. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal everything. Everything. Declare, disclose, open it up to you, transmit it to you. Four amazing things the Spirit of God will do for us. He will guide you into all truth. That's what he wants to do for us in 2020. He wants to guide us into all truth. Secondly, he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. That's what he wants to do for us in 2020. Thirdly, he will take what is mine and will reveal it to you. That, again, is what he wants to do in 2020. And fourthly, Jesus said, everything that the Father has is mine. That's a promise to you and I. John 16, 15, everything the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that the Holy Spirit will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. You know, what Jesus did for the disciples over 2,000 years ago, he wants to do for us in 2020. The same thing that he did with the disciples. We have access by the Spirit to everything that God knows. Hey, listen, these are not words. These are not just words. These are the truth of God's Word. We have access to everything that the Spirit of God will reveal to us concerning the Father, his ways, his acts, his character. We have access to everything that Jesus had while he was on earth. You take it. Let's really take this to heart, church. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us such revelation of this truth. We want to start the year 2020 with a revelation of the fact that God, you said that we have access to everything that Jesus had while he was on earth. Then it goes, the Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. Christ the anointed is available to us now. We have the same anointing on our minds that Jesus had on his mind when he was ministering on earth. We have the same mind. You say, well, I can't even remember my friend's name. And I can't sometimes either. But I still declare I have the mind of Christ. When Glenna says, what's that person's name? Let me think. And in my mind, I just say, God, I have the mind of Christ. Was it John? No. But this is an incredible, incredible understanding. When I began to get this word together, the Holy Spirit began to quicken to me the importance of us receiving this word, taking it to heart. In Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you. Let me say it again. Let this same mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus. Can you get that? We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We're born in his likeness. As he is, so are we in this world. We're joint heirs, not sub-heirs. In Romans 8, 17, it says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Some of you may not like this next line. But if we share his glory, we must also share his suffering. That's how it comes. That's how it comes. We've been made one with him. John 17, verse 23. Jesus said, Father, listen to this. You live fully in me. Look at the next line. And I, come on, church, I live fully in you. I think I only got 50%, maybe 75%, 90%, 99%. No, fully. You have fully living in you Jesus Christ, the risen, ascended, glorified Lord, living in us today. Well, I thought someone was saying he was standing up to give praise. In John 16, verse 15, Jesus said, all things, come on, church, all things that the Father has is mine. It's about time we had someone running around this room. All things that the Father has, Holy Spirit will therefore take what is mine and show it to you. We have access to everything he owns. We have access to everything he owns. We have access to everything he knows. Why? Because he fully lives in me. He fully lives in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater. The greater one lives in you. When the devil comes to lie and deceive and trying to pull you apart, begin to declare, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I finish with this. You know, I could have gone on for 2 hours on this one, but I won't. I want to finish with Colossians 3, 1 to 3. So it comes down to this. Since you have been raised, some translation says, if you've been raised. No, that's a wrong translation. Since, it's already done. Since you have been raised with the Anointed One, the liberating King, set your mind. That's what we're going to do this year. Set our mind on things above. The Anointed is there, seated at God's right hand. Stay focused on what's above, not on earthly things, because your old life is dead and gone. Your old life is dead. It cannot be resurrected. It's dead. It's gone. Your new life is now hidden, enmeshed with the Anointed who is God. You're meshed in God. You're joined to him. You're one with him. Your old past is gone. Let me pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, give us such a revelation of this truth. We are made to sit with you. We're seated at the right hand of God, the place of authority, the place where power is dispensed, authority is dispensed. Father God, we can look at circumstances, we can look at situations, we can look at any attacks of the enemy. No, Father God, it has no hold on me because I'm seated with you. Jesus, you said on one occasion, Satan has nothing in us, in me. And God, we can say in faith, because of a belief and trust in Jesus, Satan, you have nothing on me. Because I've been made to sit, I'm seated with Christ. at the right hand of the Father. Everything that he has is mine. Everything of who he is mine. And Father God, I can start this year, 2020, with absolute confidence, with absolute assurance, Lord God, that my life is hidden with Christ in God.